All right. Okay. There's some few ground rules that I want to go over, but I think I can wait on doing that. So first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for coming here. The next 5 days is going to be a lot of fun. I see a lot of familiar faces and a few new ones. So either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. So before I jump into the welcome note, I want to start off with a keynote. I want to introduce our corporate vice president, Mike Fortin. So I've actually written some stuff out of him, this way I don't mess it up. So he's actually led the shift from automated testing to the use of customer-focused telemetry. He's overseen a portfolio of teams, including Windows as a service team, deployment of all patches for all versions of Microsoft software. He's led a team of data scientists that reasons over Windows results in flight and infarnet. And teams of software engineers that design our approach to measuring the quality of Windows build through telemetry and feedback system. So with that, I want to hand it over to Michael Fortin, our Corporate Vice President, Windows Devices Group.
Thank you, Prakash. I hope you guys can hear me okay. Sounds like it's all right. Well, welcome to Microsoft. It's Monday morning. It's raining. This is what it looks like in the June timeframe here. Next month, it starts getting blue skies every day. Maybe you'll get a taste of it this week. We'll see. It's a fancy title, this corporate vice president thing. Technically, if you look in the address book under me, it says WDG, Windows and Devices Group, overhead. And that's pretty much how all the executive team in the Windows and Devices Group thinks of themselves. But one of the things we do is actually we welcome people to campus every once in a while. And so it's a great privilege to be able to do that this morning. Let me just jump right in here. There are questions raised sometimes about our commitment to interoperability, sometimes from external folks, sometimes from internal people within the team. And the reality is we see it as really an obligation really for our developers. And you know, we've got a CEO from the past who used to run around on stage screaming developers, developers, developers. And truthfully, in the heart of the company, we have not forgotten that. And so interoperability and our commitment to that, as well as our commitment to compatibility, is way, way, way at the top of the list of priorities for us. In fact, the Windows and Devices Group has a big compatibility team that reports up to me. It's about 80, 90 people or so in size. And its mission is to do really multiple things, keep the in-market versions of our products compatible and interoperable across the globe, but also to make sure that the newer versions under development essentially meet our obligations as well. And, you know, again, our business customers are running software written by developers all across the globe. They expect us to take inordinate care with their operating environment, and that means preserving compatibility and interoperability. And so it's a deep commitment in the organization. Now, of late, I think you guys were here last June, so it's been a year. In that time frame, we've actually had the Server 2016 version of the product ship out. We've seen much more uptake of that at a faster pace than we had with any prior version of Server before. Largely driven through security, but also some of the virtualization and management improvements that go along with it as well. On the Windows 10 side of the fence, we've actually shipped twice. We shipped last August, first week of August, last week of July. We finished up what we call our anniversary update. And then we had the creators update go out earlier this spring. And now we're going to fall into a cadence that we think is a little more predictable that people like. Of course, Office, SQL Server, and truth be told, if you looked across the entire suite of Microsoft products and services, you'd see a great many things that have actually shipped since the last time you were here. So one of the things we've been doing, and this is a big part of the transition at Microsoft and towards this Windows as a service motion, is we've been listening to customers. We have felt that if we could start releasing Windows with a greater frequency, instead of three times a decade, we aspired to do it three times in a year, which customers told us, hey, that's too quick, how about two? So we listened and we said, all right, fine, we'll get into a cadence with twice a year. We also heard from those same customers, and these are enterprise customers by and large, but also some developer partners and the OEMs. We heard that the Office and Windows lack of alignment on a shipping cadence was causing lots of complexity in how to roll it out. And so we decided, you know, what we really had to do, we had to listen to our customers and go to twice a year. We should also align with not just Office, but the management tooling and other things at Microsoft, and start pushing our customer to that kind of rhythm. Now, if you're going to ship twice a year, you're going to have to do it differently than you've ever done it before. It's smaller incremental bits, not large, giant transitions. And there needs to be transparency in access to the builds, and that needs to be relatively early. In fact, when we roll out next spring's offering of Windows 10, we expect to have flighted builds available to people a month or 2 months before this fall's goes out. So it's kind of like we're now overlapping and being transparent. This is where we're going. Our development teams are working on products and services. They're doing it year-round. They're going to pick a ship vehicle, spring, fall, spring, fall, when the quality and the deliverables for those services and products are ready. And the best way to get them ready is to get them in the hands of partners, developers, and customers as soon as we possibly can. So everything's starting to overlap. Now, we use telemetry, use feedback systems, and we adjust based on what we're hearing, and we're going to keep doing it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how the timelines are getting more clear, how we're being more predictable, how we're syncing up with other parts of Microsoft. And then, of course, we're also trying to get the updates themselves to be smaller and provide better battery life performance and all sorts of other product quality improvements as we go. So this is the way we see it going forward. So 1703, that's, 2017, third month, that's our coding there. 1709 would be the ninth month, September. We're shooting for March, September every year, Windows and Office, plus all the management tools. Now, the management teams, Intune, SCCM, those kinds of things, they're anticipating being actually about a month earlier than Windows and Office, just to make sure there aren't any gotchas associated with that. But the reality is spring, fall, spring, fall. The only thing that would interrupt the spring, fall cadence by a month or so would be some kind of quality issue that we felt that we had to address. So if we miss a March and we land in April, that's because we heard something about the quality of the product and we took a little longer to get it right. But for the most part, you'll see us scheduling and driving towards these two cadences. So what does that actually mean practically like for this year? This is our first shot at it this fall. We're planning to ship in September, what we're calling our fall creators update, with a version of Office and the management tools that goes along with it. For that September product, last Friday, June 16th, was feature complete for it. So the product is essentially done. There are no additional planned features. Somebody might find something, we might have to respond to something, but for the most part, the development teams have been pushing hard to be done with all of the features across the entire set of Windows. And actually, 3 weeks earlier than that was what we called platform complete. And of course, these builds are made available to insiders. They're regularly tested and validated by literally millions of people, almost as a voluntary basis for us at the moment, which is kind of great. We hear the feedback on that. We finalize a product. We get the quality right. But we're trying to be as transparent as we can and provide access as soon as we can all throughout the year. Now, that clearly has implications on developers. I mean, they could pay attention to what we're doing. They can come to these interoperability opportunities. But maybe once a year won't be enough. And that's something I think this team needs to look at and say, how do we do this so that our spring and fall cadences are made available soon enough and the awareness of what's happening is soon enough for everybody, not just in this room, but really across the globe. Now, in terms of how Windows as a Service works, talked a little bit about our insiders and stuff like that, but basically our engineering builds go out at a certain point in time. We have broad Microsoft internal validation, which actually reaches tens of thousands, which is pretty good. Our insider program itself is millions, and it's pretty epic and global. There are folks all over the place, including Antarctica, which is really neat. And then when we start thinking about commercial pilots and broad commercial deployment, we are lining up with Office and getting our terminology right on how we talk about these things. At Microsoft, we will, on the day we actually decide the product is finished, we'll begin rolling out to the hundreds of thousands of desktop and server machines in Microsoft, literally on that day. But we expect many of our customers to look at this and kind of go, well, we're going to see how that goes and a few other things before we go broad. But so we're going to be talking about how you set up piloting rings, how you do your quality assurance and stuff like that. And we're going to be transparent with the telemetry seeing from not just the hundreds of millions of consumer devices that run this product, but from the many, many millions of businesses that actually are business devices that actually run the product at this early stage as well. So we've been standing up the same kind of dashboard views that we use internally, but we've been standing up for partners as well so they can see what's compatible, what's interoperable, and what's not. And what it really is an aggregation of all the data from all the devices provided in a very concise form. And then a business can look at, or a developer can look at, hey, what is it that we're working on and what validation is occurring externally? And you literally can see minutes of usage, hours of usage, and interactivity with all the software that an enterprise might have, reflecting to that enterprise what we see globally across all devices, consumer and from the businesses that also choose to share. So all of this stuff is Windows as a service. It's a big part of my everyday existence. And it only works if we work together as in a partnership fashion. And so it's exciting that you guys were able to come here today and be here all week to ask lots of questions. I expect a bunch of questions to come my way. And, you know, as overhead, I expect to answer as overhead should. Future release alignment, we talked about Windows and Office getting up together with System Center and Intune and all of our management tools. And, you know, there's a continued commitment here on our side to keep listening and figuring out how we can tweak and make this better. We have both consumers and businesses across the globe that we care about. Getting the balance right isn't always that easy. At the onset of this Windows as a Service thing, we thought 3 times a year, this could be great, everyone's going to love it, and it was too quick, and so we slowed down. But it does feel like twice a year is going to work pretty well for folks now that we've gotten more experience on it. We're 2 years in now, so this whole thing with Windows as a Service started in the July 2015 timeframe, so it's still nascent for us. And we hold open the possibility that we'll hear feedback and we'll learn more in the months ahead. So don't be shy to express reservations, concerns, etc. You won't be alone. And I can assure you we actually listen to it. With that, I'm going to hand over to Aaron, and he's going to go into an awful lot of more detail. But feel free to ask questions through email and other forms that are, I think you need this, available to you. And we'll be sure to answer them all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. My name is Aaron Kornblum, and unlike the corporate overhead here, I am a lower-level overhead that looks after dozens of people who are focusing on the projects and programs that you are interested in interoperability. And I'm going to be talking in a little more detail, as Mike said, about what we've been up to the past year. At a high level, going one level down, there are four key areas that we look at when we think about interoperability, interop and our commitment to interoperability. Thinking about docs, you know, we talked about, or Mike spoke a moment ago about developers. For a lot of our team, it's about document, inventory, document, continuously finding those new protocols and information to put on paper and deliver to you. Our tools, thinking about empowering you to focus on interop when you're not here, support, and events, why we're all here today. I'm going to talk about each one of these in a little more depth and detail. So first, documentation, document. Literally thousands of specifications, tens of thousands of pages of documentation, and across a variety of different data types and data formats, document formats. Mike talked a little bit about velocity and how we're now releasing multiple times a year instead of multiple times in a decade. That has a direct impact on our teams focused on documentation to capture all of this information, which is being generated at a much faster rate and much faster pace than ever before. Tooling. We have learned over the past, not just year, but years, that empowering you to focus on interop and focus on protocols when you're not physically present here is critically important. And so we have made investments over the past year on tools like our parsers, like Message Analyzer, to empower you to do more. Support. We have support personnel across the country, many of whom are in the room here today, focused on answering your questions, both in a one-to-one capacity, synchronous, and also asynchronous capacity for offline help, in forums, for private communication, everything in between. And as you see, and as you have seen in our forums, we try through SLAs to be extremely responsive, not just to one-off or one-to-one communications, but also to forum postings as well, maintaining a record and document of all of those communications and interactions. Improvements. Velocity demands improvement at a faster pace. And so thinking about keeping our information up to date, our errata is an example that I'd like to talk about. 37 updates in the past 12 months. Now, this is not a just per release process, but a process of continuous improvement. GitHub, more than 1,200 downloads through GitHub, is proving to be another way that we're finding to communicate with you openly and effectively on Interop. Since we met just a year ago, we've made some terrific progress. Our open specifications have updated across a number of releases, and you're going to hear about more. You're going to hear more about each of these areas from our talks today. Events. We host several events. We host the Interop event here with PlugFest. New this year, we're hosting our Interop PlugFest and our hands-on seminar next door in Building 20. We also participate in a number of events worldwide. These are done free at no cost to our attendees. And we want to meet your needs. We're looking to hear from you. So as you heard from Mike a few minutes ago, we'd like to hear from you and understand what it is you're seeing and hearing. Our engineers and our own employees, don't hesitate to tell us what they're thinking about. We'd like to hear from you after today's event and tell us how we can do better. So for the rest of the week, I'm going to find my agenda here. We have a wide variety of talks, hands-on next door. Please keep this as a guide, and please also keep your lanyard as a way that we can identify you as you move back and forth between this building and next door, so that we can tell that you're here and a guest on campus. You're going to hear in a lot more detail across all of these areas from our very talented speakers. Take advantage of the people that are here this week. We have people, as I said, from all across the country, literally around the world. Our engineers from Shanghai who focus on tooling and testing, creating the parsers and helping to support the infrastructure that make all of this go. We've brought them here to meet with you and talk with you this week. So take advantage of us. Take advantage of us this week while you're here. Thank you very much. Appreciate your being here and appreciate your commitment and support of Microsoft interoperability. Thank you. Prakash.
Thank you, Aaron. Any questions for Aaron? Or all right. Okay. So I want to take this moment to also thank Aaron and Chase, who's all the way back there. They've been very instrumental in supporting our events from the time we actually merged into their organization. They understand how the business works. They've been very supportive of our asks and one of the main reasons for us to be able to continue doing this year after year. So thank you so much, Chase. Thank you, Aaron. So with that, now I can get back to the PlugFest welcome. If I can find my slide. Okay, so my name is Prakash. For those who are not familiar with me, I'm a program manager in Windows Devices Group. I, along with Michael and KB and Eric, are responsible for hosting these events. So that said, let me introduce you to our team right there. So top left, you have Michael. Most people are already familiar with him. This is the 11th year we've been actually hosting this event. We've been doing this together for almost 6-7 years now. You have KB, who is not here, but Eric can fill his shoes. There he is, just walked into the door as he spoke. Perfect time. Thank you. It's myself and Diane, who also walked in there. So a wave of hands there for people who don't know her. And we have our event coordinator, Beth, probably at the front desk trying to register people still, but that's how she looks like. And we have Tom. There he is. So that's one set. More faces. That's our entire support team for you here. We've got some of them in the room. Brian, who's sitting last at the very end, right there, with his PlugFest t-shirt from last year. Thank you, Brian. Jeff McCashland, there he is, again at the far end. Obaid. he looks very similar. He always likes to have this as a picture as opposed to his real picture, but that's okay. Edgar, there he is. Most people are familiar with Edgar. Tom Jibo, there, again at the far end. We like to sit at the back. You guys can be in the front. Tarun Chopra, there he is, also from the office side. Will Gregg, there he is. Okay, all right. I can't see with this big pillar right here. And then we also have Srikanth and Nathan there, again, at the very back. So, again, Nathan looks a lot different. But anyway, if you're not convinced with these faces yet, let's give you more. All right, and there's our Shanghai team. Again, probably right there. We've got Helen. Somewhere. Wave. There you go. Okay. Lou, also from the Shanghai team. All right. Vivian. All right. And for Maggie and Jia Jun, you can ask them why they don't have their faces on. But they're right there. Live presence. All right. Got it all? Good? Thumbs up? Okay. Tell me who was right in the center. Anyone? Okay. The good news is you don't need to remember all that. All you need to remember is plugfest@microsoft.com. We will get you there no matter what your question is. Okay? That's the only thing you need to remember. And for those who are curious, that person was Edgar. Okay, more faces. We have a dedicated booth for our documentation team this year, headed by Michelle Hammond, again at the far extreme end. You see all these faces at some time or the other during the booth. Feel free to stop by, talk to them. They have some free giveaways. They have a few information that you would like to take, ask them questions, anything. They'll be here in the other building for the first 2 days, and they'll be here on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Okay, and if you can't find any one of them here, that's who you can talk to, also at the very end. So we've got all our grounds covered, so no one's escaping anywhere. And again, just remember this, we will get you there. Just have this one alias, and you will find the right person. Now that you know who we are, how many people are actually here? How many people are actually registered? I was originally going to try and put some icons here, and I don't think so. That would have been possible. But that's who is actually here, and some of them are getting... I can't get rid of this thing. I apologize for that. But that's how many people we have over the past 5 weeks. Probably not everyone is in at this point, but you feel free to interact with them. That's one of the main reasons we have our open format in the next door. For those who are especially coming here for the very first time, feel free to walk around, introduce yourself, and there's quite a few opportunities which I'll cover in just a couple of minutes for you to go interact and know more. Quick logistics information. Get familiar with the building. This is the first time we are actually doing it in two different buildings across the same week. The building you are in is building 25, and that's where you are, the rehearsal room, strangely called. And for those who are better off with numbers, call it 1367. Either way, that's where you are. And we've got some overflow rooms for people who are who want to just attend this over Skype. Those are clearly marked. You've got clear signs everywhere. You should not get lost whatsoever. And on the other side, we've got building 20, just like a couple of minutes walk down there. That's where our interoperability lab and the protocol testing is going to happen. These are the three zones that we have. People will be testing in here and in an open format like last year. People who have been here last year is already familiar with that. And then we've got our chalk talk sessions from our support engineers, and we've got a few sessions from office folks also happening here in 1009, the white room. Again, we've got clear signs, so you won't get lost. We also have an Ask the Experts session for the past for the next 3 days across file sharing, Hyper-V, and Auth and AD folks. So feel free, grab some lunch, stop by, ask any type of questions. They are here to answer those questions which you might be eager to ask them. So take advantage, like Aaron mentioned. This, we are here for you, and let's have a good week. Couple of ground rules. If you haven't already registered your vehicle, so please do so. I know some of them came in earlier than our front desk receptionist, which is very heartening to see. But please register your vehicles if you haven't done so already. This is your key. I'm sorry it won't actually beep as you enter your building, but you've got enough people to support you to actually let you in. But just show them this. That'll tell you that who you are. And we've got our own lanyards as well, in case you don't want to know who we are. Building hours, this building will be open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Building 20, on the other hand, will be open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's where all your lunches and socials are going to be. Breakfast and the snacks will be in both places. Wi-Fi, so I had to change this morning. So MSFT guest, you'll be directed to a web browser page. Just click on the event code, MS-Event64KH. That's what you want to type. It's there on the whiteboard back there as well. We'll have it displayed on Building 20 as well. So that's what you want to use. Like I said earlier, we have some social and networking opportunities, all of which is actually there in your agenda. So feel free to look at it, stop by, and let's go from there. The only thing is, on Tuesday, we have a visit to the visitor center. We have a shuttle arranged, but you're more than welcome to use your personal vehicles as well. And come there and have your dinner. So feedback. This is very important for us. What you see here is actual verbatim feedbacks from folks who attended last year, written feedback. So we actually take this very, very, very seriously. I cannot stress this enough. So you really spoke, you gave us a few things. It could be as simple as, it's a two-week event, it's too long. I want it to be 1 week. The fact that I interacted with the product group was really good. I would rather have A than B. Whatever it is, we'll try our best to actually take it in and give what you ask for. So all we ask in return for this year is, when you've been handed your feedback forms, please fill it in and turn it to us. So we take it, again, very, very, very seriously. So whatever you need, just let us know. We'll try our best to accommodate your request. That's it. That is my last slide. Any questions?